as you have noticed in some of the hymns of our singing this morning, this weekend, and in particular tomorrow, is a very particularly poignant day in our national calendar of events and days of remembrance. We have some days that are days of great jubilance and days of great celebration. We have other days that are somewhat more sober in their reminders. And today is one of those days. Our military has historically been a prominent part of the history of our country. We have days, Veterans Day, that remembers everybody who has served. We have our national birthday, July the 4th. We have Armed Forces Day. We have Flag Day. But today, or this weekend, and particularly tomorrow, marks a different kind of remembrance. Unfortunately, it has become very much a long weekend. It has become predominantly a time of good times. But it is a reminder of those who have given their life in service of our country, who have lost their lives in the armed forces of our country. A reminder of those who were willing to make a sacrifice, knowing when they left home, they very well might not come back home. I saw on Facebook this week a picture that was a twofold picture. There was one at the top that showed a picture at a beach, and it was one of those crowds that were spread out with their tents and the sand and the water, and it said, "You can enjoy your day at the beach because of their day at the beach." And it was a reminder of those who landed at Normandy and others on D-Day, and it, by extension of that, there were many other landings in the course of the war in Europe and in the course of the war in the Pacific during World War II. And there was a reminder of those who dropped that gate and went off into the face of enemy fire. Our landscape is marked with cemeteries, with rows of crosses. One of the most sobering sights that I have ever been blessed to see is the view of the National Cemetery at Arlington, the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier, and the honor guard who walks that tread of rubber back into across it. And look out over that hillside, and I know how that came into being. It came almost as a vengeance in the way that it was started, but it is one of the most honored places in our history now. There are other cemeteries like that on foreign fields. There's one atop one of the hills in France where the landings at Normandy took place. Those crosses and those markers remind us of the multitudes whom we strive to remember on Memorial Day. We have monuments. We have things that cause us to think of those who gave of themselves selflessly. And I trust that we never lose sight of that. But my job today is not here to preach patriotism, even though I hope we all are mindful of the blessing that God's given us in this country. But I want to ask you to think with me about the idea of a memorial in light of a statement in Scripture. Now I want you to notice with me from Exodus chapter 28, verse 29. We're going to read just one verse of Scripture and then look at somewhat the bigger picture that verse comes from. But I want you to notice with me, if you would, Exodus chapter 28, verse 29. And notice the language of this verse. And Aaron shall bear the names of the children of Israel in the breastplate of judgment upon his heart when he goeth into the holy place for a memorial before the Lord continually. For a memorial before the Lord. But I want you to notice with me today who was bearing this memorial and what it was that he was bearing. It's not just that it was a memorial before the Lord, but it was what was to be remembered. Notice with me, first of all, the person who is at the center of this verse of Scripture. Who is it that was going to bear the memorial? And Aaron shall bear. Aaron. Now, who is Aaron? Well, first of all, his first introduction to us takes place back over in the early chapters of the book of Exodus. Aaron is Moses' older brother. As a matter of fact, there's one place where the Bible tells us that Moses was 80 years old when he began to lead Israel out of the land of Egypt. Aaron was 83, so he was a 3-year older brother. They also had a sister who was older than both of them. Her name was Miriam. So our introduction to this man, Aaron, was as the brother of Moses. And we're introduced to him in a particular way when in chapter 3 and chapter 4 of Exodus, God's calling Moses at the burning bush, and Moses is trying to make excuses of getting out of doing what God was wanting him to do. And one of his excuses was, I'm not good, I can't talk, I'm not a spokesman. And God said, well, I've made your mouth. I can use your mouth. He said, but you've got a brother, Aaron. He's going to come out and meet you. He'll be your spokesman. So Aaron is introduced to us as the older brother of Moses, and he is the spokesman for Moses in going into Pharaoh. During that period of the plagues and all of the miracles that God worked. But that's not the predominant thing we need to remember about Aaron. I want you to notice with me back in the very first verse of Exodus chapter 28. Go with me there to this verse in Exodus chapter 28, verse 1. And God's talking now to Moses. And He says, and take thou unto thee Aaron, thy brother, and his sons with him from among the children of Israel. First thing to notice, Aaron was a man whom God chose out from among Israel. Aaron didn't seek what he was about to get. God chose him to be this office. Take him out from among the children of Israel, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office. Even Aaron, Nadab, and Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar, Aaron's sons. So this was to be an office that was given first to Aaron, and God's design was that it remain in Aaron's family, and it would be passed from one son to the next, and then on to grandsons, and it would remain in the line of Aaron. The office was that he would minister to God. It was not that he would minister to the people of Israel. He would minister to God. And he would minister in the office of the priest. Now, in particular, He would minister in the office as a high priest. The primary priest that would offer sacrifices, that would serve in the holy place before God. There were men who were counted as having a priestly office, and they would wait on different things in their turn. But Aaron had the responsibility of a sequence of things that God gave him instruction to do. But I want you to go with me into the New Testament for a moment in Hebrews chapter 2 and let us notice certain things about this ministering to God. And this is why these verses become important to us. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 17. Wherefore, in all things it behooved him. Now here's where the connection becomes important. Who's the him? If you read the first two chapters of Hebrews, we are given to understand the him is Jesus Christ. He is laid out in front of us, God the Son, God come in the flesh. He's laid out in front of us as being better than the angels, better than the law, not because the law was faulty, but he was more effective at keeping the law than Israel was, and better than Aaron's priesthood. He had a more permanent priesthood. But notice that this priesthood is said in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 17, to be compared to and to be understood in light of Aaron's priesthood. Wherefore, in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, and here's the line, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. That the high priest was to be a merciful man. He wasn't a dictator. He wasn't some kind of spiritual slave driver. He was to be a merciful man, and one of the reasons that was true was because one of his primary responsibilities was offering offerings every day for the sins of the people who would come to him. And he understood that he dealt with a sinful people. It wasn't that he was bigger than they were, that he was better than they were, that he was more pure than they were, because if you remember, this man was one who made a golden calf as an idol that was to be set up before the very God who took him to be the high priest. Aaron understood what it was like to be a sinful man. And Aaron was to be a merciful high priest. Jesus came and in all points lived as a man, and I'm going to read another passage of Scripture here in just a minute, but I want you to notice that he lived as a man, and he came from among men. He was born. It behooved him. It was necessary that Jesus would come as a man and live as a man in order to make a sacrifice for men, because the blood of bulls and goats was not sufficient offering for the sins of God's people. Jesus came as our high priest. Now go back with me for a moment and begin reading at verse 16 in this same passage. Hebrews chapter 2, begin reading with me at verse 16. For verily he, that is Jesus, took not on Him the nature of angels, but He took on Him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore in all things it behooved Him to be made like unto His brethren. He was a man born of the Jews. He was a man born of a virgin, of the line of David. He was a man, if you go in the beginning of Matthew chapter 1, you'll notice that there is two connections that are given in the beginning of that chapter. And you'll find that He is said to be the son of Abraham and the son of David. It behooved Him to be made like unto His brethren, that He might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God. You see, His first ministry was doing things God required on behalf of a people who could not do them for themselves. Things pertaining to God, that He could make reconciliation for His people. People who were separated by sin. People who were away from God, that He could reconcile. What does it mean to reconcile? How many of you ever had to... I know computers have changed the way we do it. How many of you ever reconciled a bank statement? Drive me crazy. But what it is to make what you got in your book line up next to what the bank's got on their book. For them to be in agreement. You see, folks, the high priest ministered doing what God, he did what God required of him in order to enable God's people to line up with God. God didn't come down to man's level. God had a priest to do what was necessary to bring men up to His level. And then He went on to say, "For in that He Himself hath suffered being tempted, He is able to succor them," or to nourish them that are tempted. You see, Jesus Christ is our high priest. Go with me over again, Hebrews chapter 4. And you may have heard this verse mentioned if you've listened on our Wednesday, upon our Sunday evening messages the last, I don't know, 2 or 3 weeks. But I've mentioned this passage, and if you listen tonight, you'll hear it again because of the application. But listen to what he says. Hebrews chapter 4, the identity is made very clear. Seeing then that we have, and notice it's not if we have. I've heard people say, "Oh, I wish we had a high priest. I wish we have one." Seeing that then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, and who is it? Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our profession, that we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. We don't have somebody that can't understand us. He ministers in things pertaining to God from among men. For He was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. You see, folks, the reason we come to bring an offering. Why was it that Israel would come bringing a lamb or a bullock or a turtle dove? Why was it that they came bringing those animal sacrifices as sin offerings, as trespass offerings, as peace offerings? Why was it that there was lambs brought in and given to the Lord's house, that there would be a lamb offered every morning, and that there would be a lamb offered every evening, every day, 7 days a week? 365 days a year, as it were. Why? Because there was a high priest who would bring that offering to God. They came with their offerings to the tabernacle, to that brazen altar, because there was a high priest. You understand, folks, we can come boldly to the throne of God because we have a high priest. Jesus Christ is the one whom Aaron pointed to. Aaron was a sinful man and had to make offering for himself before he could offer for the people. You remember that on the Day of Atonement, and I don't want to take too much time on this particular thing, but on the Day of Atonement, Aaron would take an offering for his own sin and sprinkle the blood that his sins be forgiven. Then he would take an offering and lay his hands upon it on behalf of the people and slay that animal and take the blood for their sins into the holiest of holy places, and then would take another goat, another animal, lay his hands on it, and it would be carried off, the sins taken away, not to be remembered again. Then they would go through that same process again the next year. And the next year. And the next year. But Jesus, not having to offer sin for Himself, was able to offer sin for us. You see, that's where the next part of our verse comes in. And Aaron shall bear. Why? Because Jesus bears the names of the children of Israel in the breastplate of judgment upon His heart. Folks, I want to tell you today, one of the most joyous thoughts to me is that Jesus Christ bears my name on His heart all the time. You ever thought about that? Isn't it nice to think about, oh, my wife loves me all the time. My husband loves me all the time. My kids think about me. I think about my kids. Have you ever thought about that the King of Heaven has your name upon His heart? And you see, if you go back into the previous verses, you'll find that there were 12 stones on this breastplate of righteousness that was fitted for the high priest. There were 4 rows of 3 stones. They were all valuable stones, gemstones. They were all different in color. They were all different in their nature. There's a reason for that. And the reason points to us. You see, there were 12 tribes, and the 12 tribes were different. The people of God were not cookie cutters. They came from different lines. There's a reason. Listen, look at what the Scripture says to us. That when He goes in, He bears as a memorial before the Lord continually. Something that was to be thought about, something that was momentous, something that was that needed to be recorded and remembered. When Jesus goes in before our Father, when Jesus goes in before His Father, our names are upon His heart, that the Father would remember us because Jesus carries them into His presence. Today's Memorial Day. We remember those who have died. And gratefully so. But have you ever thought about the fact that God remembers the cross of Jesus Christ because of your name that's on Jesus' heart? All of God's people are different. We're like those 12 tribes. We're stubborn. We're stiff-necked. We're sinful people. All of us are different. We all come from different backgrounds. But if you look in Revelation chapter 5, you'll find this passage. Revelation chapter 5, verse 9. They sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book, to open the seals thereof, for Thou wast slain, there's the cross, and hast redeemed us to God. Notice that. How was it that the high priest was to minister? He ministered in things pertaining to God. Thou redeemed us to God by Thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, out of every kindred, out of every tribe, out of every group of people. God has a chosen people. God has a people that He chose from before the foundation of the world and placed in Jesus Christ. A people that's greater than any number that man can reach, greater than the stars of heaven, the sands of the seashore. And Jesus redeemed every one of them. All that the Father giveth to me shall come unto me. And he that cometh unto me I shall in no wise cast out. I should lose nothing but raise it up again in the last day. You see, folks, when Jesus redeemed us, our names were written on His heart, on the breastplate of judgment. He bore our judgment. And when He goes into the Father, notice again, 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2. Again, verses 9 and 10 in this chapter. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of Him, God, who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, which in times past were not a people. You're a royal priesthood. You were not a people. You were separated from God, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. How? Because of Jesus Christ bearing our judgment of condemnation, to die, to reconcile us, to bring us up to God's line, to make us line up with God's standard of righteousness. And every time He goes in before His Father, I'm the good shepherd, and know my sheep. Why? Because our names are written upon His heart. We're engraved in His hands in the nail prints that are there. And that expression is used in the Old Testament about our being engraved in His hands. Our names, as it were written in His hands. They're written upon His heart. I know my sheep and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I, what? Lay down my life for the sheep. Other sheep I have which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring. They shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it up again. He took His life again. Notice Hebrews chapter 7. Verses 24, beginning at verse 24. But this man, because he continueth ever. Why does he continue ever? Because he rose from the grave. He came out of the grave alive. Death could not hold him. Peter told the people on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, it was not possible that he be holden of death. He came forth having laid our sins aside. He had none of His own. He laid ours aside, and He continues ever. What does He continue in? But this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable what? Priesthood. Aaron was made priest, but Aaron died. Aaron's sons were to be priests. Two of them died because they carried false fire. They carried fire in to offer to God in a lazy way. If you would, they took the little censer Oh, we don't need to go over there to that altar. We can set it on fire this way. They pulled their big lighter out and started their own fire. And when they went in, they were struck dead. Because what they carried in didn't come off the altar. You see, there is no acceptable sacrifice unto God except what comes through the altar of Calvary. But Jesus doesn't have to have sons to become His replacement. We are His heirs. We are joint heirs with Him. We are a royal priesthood. But He has an unchangeable priesthood. And His unchangeable priesthood means, wherefore He is able also to save them to the uttermost that come to God by Him, seeing He ever liveth to do what? To make intercession for them. For such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens, who needeth not daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifice first for His own sins and then for the people. For this He did once when He offered up Himself. For the law maketh men high priests which have infirmities, but the word of the oath, which was since the law, maketh the Son who is consecrated forevermore. We have a high priest who never changes. We have a high priest who is consecrated forevermore. And what does He bear upon His own heart? He bears our name as a memorial that is to be remembered by God. Remembered. Think about it this way. God remembers that Jesus died for each one of those whose names are upon His heart. God doesn't forget one of them. Have you ever done like I do sometimes? I start trying to call one of the kids' name or one of the grandkids' name, and I'll call everybody else's name before I ever get to the right one. God never forgets one. He never mixes you up with anybody else. He sees your name on Jesus' heart and knows that the cross of Jesus Christ is the sacrifice for your sin. He remembers everyone. Jesus covers all the differences and the different needs that we have. There's not a thing that you and I face that Jesus has not met, cannot meet, and will not meet. God remembers that Jesus has reconciled us to God. And He doesn't fail. He didn't fail. He will not fail. It's not based upon our obedience to the works of the law, but upon Jesus' obedience to the law in everything, that He fulfilled it all once. It doesn't need to be repeated. God remembers the event and the time of Calvary when Jesus bore the judgment of death for His people. God remembers that we are set free as His children. We are not slaves. We are heirs and joint heirs in Jesus Christ. And every day, think about this, every day, every time, go back. I don't think I put it back on there. Go back to that verse in Exodus again. Notice what He says. And Aaron shall bear the names of the children of Israel in the breastplate of judgment upon his heart when he goeth into the holy place. When he goes into the house of God. When he goes into the presence of the Father. Every time Jesus goes before His Father to make intercessions for you, He bears a memorial to the Father. Not once a year on a memorial day. Not just on some special occasion. But every time you and I need forgiveness, there's the remembrance of the cross. Because Jesus, as it were, walks into the presence of the Father, and the thing that the Father sees is our name written upon the breastplate of judgment. Our name upon the heart of His Son. Our name not as something that He had to do, but as something that He loved willingly to do. I'll tell you, folks, when we think about the Memorial Day and we remember those who have given their life, we ought to remember them. But I'm going to tell you, there's a greater Memorial Day. And that's every time Jesus walks into the presence of the Father, God remembers you. God remembers that you're His child. God remembers that you are washed clean. God remembers that you will never be lost. God remembers that Jesus is the one who speaks for you. And He hears His Son. And He sees His Son. And therefore He hears our need. You see, folks, we have a high priest. We have a high priest that's holy and harmless and separate from sinners. And yet we have one that's merciful and faithful to forgive us of our sins. May we believe. May we trust Him fully. May we commit ourselves to follow Him. May we worship Him with all of our heart. If our names are written upon His heart, may His name be the primary name on our heart in all we say and do. May God help is my prayer for Christ's sake. Lord, look upon us today in mercy indeed. Your Son is a merciful and faithful high priest, and He's completed the work of reconciliation and redemption. If You've opened our eyes by grace to be able to see it, help us to follow Him. Help us to serve in the way that You would have us to do in things that You've given us pertaining unto You. And help us to live in such a way that You would be glorified in our service. For Christ's sake we pray. And amen.